Instruction regarding sanitarium work. September 1, 1902. Typed. Some things have been presented to me that I deem of great importance. Light has been given that our institutions are not to be established in the midst of the cities. So great is the wickedness of these cities that much of what the eyes see and the ears hear has a demoralizing influence. Especially should our schools and sanitariums be located outside of the cities, in places where land can be secured. Let the culture of flowers and of small fruits, such as strawberries, be carried on in connection with our sanitariums, and let the patients whose health permits be encouraged to take part in this work. The exercise in the open air will have on them an influence for good that it is impossible to overrate. There is another advantage to be gained by carrying on the cultivation of fruit in connection with our sanitariums. Thus, fruit absolutely free from decay and fresh from the trees can be obtained for table use. It is not pleasing to the Lord for those who claim to believe present truth to establish institutions in the cities. The all-wise God is working on minds, leading men to see the advantage of getting away from the congested cities into the country. If we walk in the counsel of the Lord, we shall have opportunity to purchase for sanitarium purposes, at a reasonable rate, properties on which there already are buildings that can be utilized, and where the grounds are already ornamented by ornamental trees. Many such places have been presented to me. I have been instructed that the liberal offers made on these places should be carefully considered. Sometimes these properties can be purchased for much less than their real value. They may not, in every particular, be all that we could wish, but changes can be made to fit the buildings to our purposes, and these changes will cost less than putting up new buildings. It may sometimes be necessary, however, to select a site on which no improvements have been made and no buildings erected. In such a case, we must be careful not to select a place which will of necessity require a large outlay of means for improvements. Through lack of experience and miscalculation, we may be entrapped into the incurring of large debts because the buildings and improvements cost 2 or 3 times as much as was estimated. Let us endeavor to purchase properties on which buildings are erected and trees and shrubs set out. It is far better for us, who are striving to advance the cause of truth, to purchase such places, if offered at a reasonable figure, than to delay the work for a long time in an effort to find a location that exactly suits us. Sometimes the expense of traveling here and there, searching for favorable locations, is large, because 1 or 2 men have pet ideas that they wish to see gratified and are unwilling to follow the instruction that God has given. We need now to make every dollar count in selecting a site for a sanitarium near Los Angeles and beginning work. We have been in need of men of sound judgment, men with ability to count the cost and to plan wisely. Lack of experience has been a great disadvantage. There is now need of our doing solid work. I have been instructed that it was not necessary for the sanitarium work in Southern California to be hindered in the way that it has been, for the Lord Himself has pointed out the way in which the situation should be regarded. The Lord would have men walk humbly before Him. It would be a mistake for us to purchase or erect large buildings in the cities of Southern California for sanitarium work, and those who see advantages in doing this are not moving understandingly. A great work is to be done in preparing these cities to hear the gospel message. But this work is not to be done by fitting up in them large buildings for the carrying forward of some wonderful enterprise. Well-equipped tent meetings should be held in the large cities, such as San Francisco. For not long hence, these cities will suffer under the judgments of God. San Francisco and Oakland are becoming as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the Lord will visit them in wrath. Hygienic restaurants. The opening of hygienic restaurants is a work that God would have done in the cities. If wisely conducted, these restaurants will be missionary centers. Those working in them should have at hand publications on health and temperance topics, and on other phases of gospel truth to give to those coming for meals. Closing our restaurants on the Sabbath. The question has been asked, should our restaurants be opened on the Sabbath? My answer is, no, no. The observance of the Sabbath is our witness to God, the mark, or sign, between Him and us that we are His people. Never is this mark to be obliterated. Were the workers in our restaurants to provide meals on the Sabbath, the same as they do through the week for the mass of people who would come, where would be their day of rest? What opportunity would they have to recruit their physical and spiritual strength? Not long since, special light was given me on this subject. I was shown that efforts would be made to break down our standard of Sabbath observance, that men would plead for the opening of our restaurants on the Sabbath, but that this must never be done. A scene passed before me. I was in our restaurant in San Francisco. It was Friday. Several of the workers were busily engaged in putting up packages of such foods as could be easily carried by the people to their homes, and a number were waiting to receive these packages. I asked the meaning of this, and the workers told me that some among their patrons were troubled because, on account of the closing of the restaurant, they could not obtain on the Sabbath food of the same kind as that which they used during the week. Realizing the value of the wholesome foods obtained at the restaurant, they protested against being denied them on the seventh day and pleaded with those in charge of the restaurant to keep it open every day in the week, pointing out what they would suffer if this were not done. "What you see today," said the workers, "is our answer to this demand for the health foods upon the Sabbath. These people take on Friday food that lasts over the Sabbath, and in this way we avoid condemnation for refusing to open the restaurant on the Sabbath." The question of opening our restaurants on the Sabbath is to be considered in the light of God's commandments. The Lord has declared, "Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh he rested and was refreshed." Exodus 31, verse 13 to 17. We are to heed a "Thus saith the Lord," even though by our obedience we cause great inconvenience to those who have no respect for the Sabbath. On one hand are man's supposed necessities, on the other, God's commands. Which have the greatest weight with us? In our sanitariums, the family of patients with the physicians, nurses, and helpers must be fed upon the Sabbath, as any other family, with as little labor as possible. But our restaurants should not be opened on the Sabbath. The workers are to be assured that they will have this day for the worship of God. The closed doors on the Sabbath stamp the restaurant as a memorial for God, a memorial which declares that the seventh day is the Sabbath, and that on it no unnecessary work is to be done. God rested on the seventh day from his work of creation and was refreshed. He sanctified and blessed the day of his rest and gave it to man as a day to be kept holy. When the manna was given to the children of Israel, they were directed to gather on the sixth day a double portion. "Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord," Moses declared. "Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning." Exodus 16, verse 23. God requires that his holy day be as sacredly observed now as in the time of Israel. The command given to the Hebrews should be regarded by all Christians as an injunction from Jehovah to them. The day before the Sabbath should be made a day of preparation, that everyone may be in readiness for its sacred hours. Not all our people are as particular as they should be in regard to Sabbath observance. May God help them to reform. It becomes the head of every family to plant his feet firmly on the platform of obedience.